With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Morning. Welcome. Welcome to the Road Tripping Podcast. Richard Jefferson, Allie Clifton, and Just Channing today.
I know, running around like a crazy man today.
You have to go to the dentist. Your office was moved because your kids have all the power. And you just didn't have time to find a way to be funny.
Yeah, that's about right. you hit it on all the all the angles.
Guys, shout Truck out to your alma mater, U of A. Yeah, it's a lot. Big shout out. We're all here for it. Big shout out to your alma mater, U of A. I'll give you all credit. Y'all know what you're doing. Tucson, bear down. I will say, though, the evening was awesome and so much fun, and your fan base is, I mean, it wasn't even October yet, and they are so ecstatic for y'all, which is awesome.
Next level.
When we were sitting at Frog and Firkins, I like had a moment where when you grow up in the Midwest and you see gray 9 months out of the year, you all know I love my hometown. Y'all know I love where I come from. But sitting outside with music blaring at a college bar and like the weather just being perfect. Now I get it.
You get it.
When it stays like that all year long. I mean,
it's just not even
all
fair.
The time.
It's just not even fair.
You can definitely didn't even learn
wear
a lot of.
I had teammates who didn't wear pants all year. Like they wore shorts. They wore shorts.
Oh, okay. Just like given the climate.
Did you wear pants?
Me, yeah.
You wear pants?
Yes. Yeah.
No pants parties? What kind of parties were you going to, Chang?
I was not
You were just shirt cocking it.
Wow. Wow.
Just walking around shirt.
She didn't even know that reference.
What, shirt cocking?
Shirt cocking, I don't. That's kind of the beautiful thing about it, because I just find it funny either way. Okay. What is it? What's the reference?
You want to explain it to her, Janet?
It's from Deadpool. It's like when you walk around and you don't have underwear on, so you put your shirt over your junk, so you're shirt cocking it.
No, well, yeah, it's like we're walking around with a shirt on and nothing below. So it's just like, you know, your shirt is right at your cock, so it's like your shirt, then your,
why do
you
call it a, you know, not that this is here or there, but cock is aggressive. That's a porn word.
No, it's the term. I'm not calling it a cock. I'm saying it's just like the term is shirt cocking it.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. That's
try using any other term to describe that. It's just not as cool. It's just not as aggressive.
Thank you for understanding that, Allie.
Thank you.
I'm always here for that kind of knowledge. All right, let's dive in. Media Day is behind us. The NBA has officially begun. I just want to throw it out there because, Channing, you're all over Twitter and you're wondering what the world feels about X. You have different takes, different thoughts that are going through your mind. So let's just start with a generic, what do you think the NBA storylines are that fans should be paying attention to right now? What do you have your eye on that you're asking the world?
The big
I can read them for you if you forgot.
No. Number one, what I was reading today and kind of heard that it was weird. What the fuck is up with Chris Middleton's knee? Like, that's huge. Like, there ain't no big three if Chris Middleton ain't playing, right? I mean, you could have as much Giannis and Dame's, you know, pick and rolls as you want, but if you don't have that third guy, right, what is that? No team has ever won without a great third guy. And I thought Aaron Gordon last year was that guy for Denver, right? So that's one. Number two, all these Boston fans are getting on me about how small their team is. And I'm like, guys, Robert Williams was extremely good when he played for you guys. He was also a great off-the-ball defender when he played. Yes, he's injury prone. You now traded a guy who was a rim threat, who was an excellent rebounder, who was a shot blocker, for Porzingis, who is a taller version of Al Horford, who's now 36, 37 years old. And then you're like, well, we upgraded that position. I don't know if you did. You didn't address anything. Who's your rim roller? It's not Al Horford. Who's your lob threat? It's not Porzingis. So where are you going? Like, don't argue with me. I watched the whole fucking team. Like, I mean, argue with me because I like to argue. But for me, you got to show me that Porzingis is just going to be a rim roller all year long, and that's what he's going to do, because I have yet to see that. He's a pick and pop guy. Yes, he had a good year last year on a shitty, shitty team. But at the end of the day, you're trying to win a chip. So if we're looking, Al Horford, I think he is above and beyond better than I think he would be at this age. Great. Jaylen Brown, obviously, he's got to work on the left hand, but he's paid. He's solid. Jason Tatum, we know what he is. Jrue Holiday, we know what he is, right? Derek White, solid, had some good games. The only person that I'm really wondering what, because I've never seen them in a stressful situation like trying to win a chip, is Porzingis. So we'll see what's going to happen there, right? And then thirdly, which isn't that big a deal, is like the Warriors are going to start Chris Paul. That's a tiny ass team. And I don't, you know, like.
That's just because Draymond's injured currently, correct?
Yeah, but still, why even? I mean, I guess you want them to get used to each other. But like, okay, mm-hmm. Let's say they play the Sacramento Kings. Who's guarding De'Aaron Fox? Like, one of those two guys got to guard De'Aaron Fox, right? And I understand they got to guard. What I'm saying is, I like Chris Paul coming off the bench and being a facilitator where he's the true point. At the beginning of the game, the focus is going to be on you're playing a different caliber of players that I think right now that Chris Paul would be better suited on this team coming off the bench and running that second unit and getting those guys going.
No, I think a lot of people think the same thing. It's just a matter of whether or not a person has never started a game, never come off a bench in their career, a person as competitive and with the ego of Chris Paul, will he be willing to do that and do it at the level? No one's questioning what is probably the best fit for him.
Right.
No one's questioning like where the team needs him the most or where he would excel. It's coming off the bench, helping that second unit in the non-Steph Curry minutes, and then obviously finishing games. I see him on the court in some manner, right? I see him on the court. Especially as a facilitator for Steph Curry and Klay. And as a second, you know what I'm saying? So I see him on the court at the end, and I think that's what matters most. So I think Chris Paul, this is all about a management of, in my personal opinion, of can he manage his ego to do what's best? And if he allows Steve Kerr to play him some second halves, I tell you, I play with Pop would play Antonio McDice just the second half of games. Right. He would really would, like, throughout the season, he would just like Dice get going. Right. Like, it'd be, you know, DeJuan Blair would play the first half. Dice would get a great warm up in the second half and then would play the second half of games just to lighten the load off of him so that he would be fresh later. It's like you can get creative with these things, but it's just like if it's got to be your way and the way that you want to do it, it's going to be tough. So, you know, if he allows Steve, in my opinion, to use him and it's like, hey, we really want you to play about 70 games. We want to use you in these moments in this manner. There's going to be days where, like, I'm not only going to play you in the second half. And I know that might mess up your rhythm, but that's going to prolong, you know. And we're going to do it in a structured way so you'll have your rhythm. It ain't going to just be free-flowing and me messing around. So it's just a matter of how well he allows himself to be used for the system.
So come opening night, do you guys anticipate because Draymond's injury right now is 4 to 6 weeks, so he could potentially miss that first week of the regular season. Could you see a situation in a scenario where Chris Paul is starting until Draymond returns?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. I could see him starting a bunch of games this year, but not as a 100% starter. I don't see him in any scenario. And I also don't see him at 100%, you know. You can start Chris Paul against Sacramento, right? You can, like, because Draymond can go against, you know, Sabonis if that's their five. Like, you know that. So, and I'm saying, like, there are games.
I guess you put Chris on, like, Keegan Murray.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so it's like there are tons of teams out there that you could start Chris and go small because Draymond is a special type of five.
Right.
Shout out to your former Wildcat and Steve Kerr, because he did say the other day when he gave that information, the starters for the first preseason game to the media, he said, give this to the world. It'll be good water cooler talk. And here we are leading off our podcast with this kind of
If they do get it right. Yeah, I think it was Steph, Clay,
Wiggins,
Chris,
Kevon, and Chris. Yeah.
That doesn't really do anything because they're missing Draymond as a starter. He knows what he's doing, that little shit. Right. That little shit. So it doesn't do anything. It doesn't answer any questions. He knows it.
I'll be interested to see when they have those, I'm not going to say non-shooters, but when they have Draymond and Chris Paul in the game, how their spacing works, right? But I guess
you say have Draymond and Chris Paul in the game. What you mean?
I want to see what that looks like. Right?
Chris Paul can shoot that shit. So let me show you what it looks like. Richard. It's a pick and roll, toss back to Draymond. Draymond has the option for another dribble handoff or to continue it in another dribble handoff on the weak side. Chris Paul replaces. You got one shooter with Draymond being the facilitator, very similar to what they had with Kevin Durant. Similar, not the same, but similar, as in you have three elite shooters spaced around Draymond rolling on the floor. Now you say
he's
stay
not gonna
home.
Roll, they're just gonna switch that.
No, but I'm saying that's with Draymond rolling, but still it's the secondary actions. It's not just you're gonna switch across. But you got to make, you know, with the Warriors, you got to switch all the way up and perfect every single time. If one time you're back, that's Steph, that's a three. That's Clay, that's a three. So their action isn't the most confusing. Their action is the one that you just can't mess up on. And even if you do it right, they still might score. That's why their action is so tough. That's what I'm saying. They're going to switch across the board, but – remember when in Boston, when they played Boston in the finals, Boston was back. They were in a drop coverage, and they wanted to go over because they didn't want anybody else to get threes. They're like, we don't care if Steph goes for 50. We don't care about that. We just don't want anybody else to beat us. So that was their kind of, we're going to go over the top of the screen. We're going to be in a drop coverage. Everyone else stay home. And it will make it hard. We'll stay attached to him, so you make it hard for him to shoot that three. Then when he gets into the paint, there's a big sitting in there waiting. We're going to give up floaters and pull up jumpers to Steph Curry. That's what they're going to try and give up. So teams will give up some shots, but the Warriors just make it very difficult to choose which one to do.
Which is true. I think they are, if they could figure it out quicker or sooner rather than later, I think they're a one of those scary teams, right? Anytime you got those big three guys and Coach Kerr, I think they're a scary team. What's the other thing? Like, I'm kind of over the Philly talk already. Why? Like, I'm kind of like, ugh.
This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by our friends at BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with hard decisions around your career, relationships, or anything else, therapy can help you stay connected to what you really want as you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. For me, balancing, as you can imagine, my personal and professional life, it can be chaotic at times. So to have that one expert on hand to help me navigate the day-to-day challenges that may arise, it has been a total game changer. Speaking for myself, when it came to making a lifestyle change for my career and moving from the Midwest to the West Coast, having an expert therapist take the time to help me navigate all the emotions and hurdles I was about to embark on, I can honestly say I wouldn't wouldn't have made it without their guidance, something that has continued to help me to this day. If you're thinking of getting that support you need through the form of therapy, then give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You'll start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So road trippers, let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/roadtripping today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/roadtripping. I have a truth or trash for you with that. Truth or trash, there is a team that will end up trading a first round pick for James Harden.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a team out there willing to give a first round pick. But is there a team willing to get James Harden?
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, if you want James Harden,
well,
if you
that's
want
the deal.
Harden,
so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you want James Harden, you're going to have to give up some sort of like a first round pick. At the end of the day, he's still 20-10. End of the day, there's a lot of things that he still brings value. And
why are you over it, Channing?
I'm with Channing.
I just feel like the narrative for him, and obviously he's created a lot of this, is just, it's interesting. And I'm almost like, well, does the guy help you win or not, right? I think now it's like, you know, Stephen A. Smith said the thing about he talked himself out of a max contract. And then now people are like, well, you know, and most people don't want to say it, but I'm not trying to put this narrative out there, but like, is he really good for your locker room with younger guys, right? Like, is he that guy that's going to show them the right way to, like, be a pro, right? James is one of the only guys that we know that can go to Vegas and then perform the next night or not practice and then perform the next week or whatever. So, like, the younger teams that would want him are like, well, do we want to put that type of player as a leader, as good as he is, to show them how to do that? And I'm just like, I mean, a lot of people do it. They just don't put it out there.
Okay, Channing. How many years were you in the NBA?
14.
And you've been retired for how many?
5.
You've been retired for 5 years?
Yeah. It's been 5 years now.
What year did you retire?
Four.
Yeah, 23. Thank you for the math. Okay, so 4 years you've been retired, okay? So that's a lot of years covering the NBA. That's a lot of years of following. That's a lot of years of knowing it. Would you want James Harden on your team with a bunch of young players?
Hell no.
You said hell no?
Hell no. You can't do it because here's the problem.
He tried to dance around it.
Dude, I tried to dance around it, right? But listen.
Can I give you this quote regarding this? Go on, Rich.
Yes. Sorry. No, the last thing I was going to say. Sure. You give me James Harden around vets, I feel very comfortable, right? Vets, like, again, it's like the vets going to do what they do. We going to do what we do. But young players, I don't know if James Harden is the one I want around them. That's just me personally. Like, he needs to be competing for a championship anyway. Young players shouldn't be a part of his equation.
I agree with that. And then I don't know if you guys saw the Ime quote that just came out. Obviously, Ime, now the head coach of the Rockets. Nothing against James, Ime told ESPN, but Fred is just a better fit when it came to wanting Fred over James Harden. I coached James in Brooklyn. He's one of the smartest players I've ever been around. The words Ime doesn't want James never came out of my mouth. It was, let's look at the best fit. If we want Jalen and the young guys to take the next steps, we need them to have the ball. As for me saying I don't want James, that was never the case. It was about fit. So even on the court, when you're talking about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is let's be realistic, right? And this could be quick. Where would James Harden, where would you go? You know what, James Harden, we want to take a chance with you here and pay that. And maybe, and obviously we're going to have to pay you because that's why you're going to come here. Or else you're just going to, we're going to trade for a first round pick and then you're gone, which is another thing, right? So like, because he wants to get paid. So no Portland, no Sacramento, no Golden State.
Miami?
No Lakers. No. Maybe. If they can get, that will be the biggest test. I think the only two teams that can take him are the Clippers and Miami.
I don't see Pat Riley. Oh, man.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That would be the biggest test of two bulls going this way.
No, it wouldn't be a test. He would lose that battle. He would lose that battle. Either he would fall in line or he would lose that battle. I mean that with 100% respect. There is that'd be like two bulls, like him going to San Antonio. Who's going to win that battle? Either he's going to fall in line with Pop or he's not. Like that. That's not the situation.
But Miami doesn't even play like that, though.
No, but this is more of the point is this, is that we've seen it time and time again, and it is very difficult. We are now seeing players from our generation and now the slightly younger generation deal with the transition of their careers. And sometimes you get guys like Chris Paul, who is not the most popular guy in the world, but he's extremely professional when it handles his business. So this So this man's money, even though he's 36, 37, that's why he was making so much money later in his career. Now we got guys that are 33. And now is James Harden as professional? Like, you know, and so now you're like, well, do we really want to be paying this guy that money at 35, 36? We can already see the decline. We see his bad habits. We know he's a partier and it never really affected him, but he ain't scoring 35 a night anymore. He's 22. And given that speedy decline of like how it's starting to go, do we really want to pay him 3-4 years? Do we want to have him around our young guys? And James seems like a guy that after 10, 12 years of I can do whatever I want, doesn't seem like the type of guy that will fall in. That's what they're hoping for. But you see it. You've seen it with Russell. You've seen it with Carmelo. You've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're seeing it now with James. Like, are you seeing it with Chris Paul? Does Chris Paul start? Think about these great, great Hall of Fame first ballot guys that at the end of their career, they're still productive, but it's like they got to be productive within the system. And if it doesn't, then it starts to get real weird out there for them.
Yeah.
That's it. Carmelo, Russell, Chris Paul, and now James Harden.
Because you have the new crop of young guys are so good, and you're like, man, I would love if James Harden was like, you know what? I can facilitate and I'll be happy doing that. And like, I could play with a superstar. He's playing with an MVP going, get me out of here. Now, that has, even though it has nothing to do with Joel Embiid, if he was happy, right? Or if he had fallen in line, I assume he would have got that check. I don't know what kind of check he would have got. But like, yeah, think about this. If Joel Embiid loved him, they'd be like, man, pay the man. I want him here. Mm-hmm. Like, you're Joel Embiid, you're the MVP.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, as crazy as that sounds, they'd be like, hey, man, get this dude.
Yeah.
But Joe knows a little bit more of the behind the scenes as to why he's.
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. What, like, Woodley, come on. But I just, again, we, like, this, people are now seeing it. Channing and I, because we were in it for so long, we've seen it with other players. Allen Iverson was one of those guys. He went from averaging 25 a night in Boston, in Denver. And then it just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it went sideways quickly. Then it was the Memphis situation. And then they didn't want him to start. And it was Lionel Hollins. And then they were like, well, we're going to. Yeah, it just turned into this very weird situation. And then he didn't get the contract. And then next thing you know, like, one of our great icons doesn't get a farewell tour, in my opinion, the way he should have. A lot of different things start to kind of fall apart because the end of it doesn't have this vision and directness. And so, you know, we're now going, like, everyone talks about how this older generation and we're coming towards the end. Well, let's also watch how they end. A lot of them end, you know, unceremoniously, and that's part sucks, but some of the times it's on them for the reason why it's ending.
Yeah. There's no way Channing gets a farewell tour and Vince Carter and Richard and these guys don't. Like, I saw the writing on the wall and I was like, yeah.
I'm out. Yeah. Yeah. Let me call it.
Dude, what? I can't, but you got to know. But like, again, I didn't have an ego, right? I was getting DMPs. We were doing whatever. I was like, you know what? Time for me to do something else. So, not to change the subject, but I was really thinking, is it crazy?
Yes.
That we could not talk about anything more than we talked about Wembanyama for almost 2 full years. And all of a sudden now, he's not mentioned or talked about anywhere.
Well, give it a second, Channing. This is the dead days. The minute that, as the person that's calling his first game, yeah, I am telling you, that shit is going to be chaos. And every highlight, as soon as the season starts, it'll be back at him again. The minute basketball starts up, it'll be all about, everyone's going to want to, it's going to be a circus. Everyone's going to want to see him. He's the unicorn. Like, trust me, it's the Webinyama show is coming.
Well, he's an alien. I think the unicorn was Porzingis, but
Porzingis. Porzingis. Respectfully, I gave you
one more thing. Richard, yes or no? Are you buying or selling the New Orleans Pelicans?
Selling fucking so fast. I'm selling that shit like
I'm on the train again this year.
Shut up.
Back on the train. No,
no. Stay on that train. Stay on that train.
What put you back on it?
Back on the train.
Why are you back on the train? And then after that, tell me what the definition of insanity is.
Hey, I was insane about
getting back on the train over and over.
Yeah,
I was insane about the Sacramento Kings, and they finally made the playoffs last year. So, ha.
Okay, that's fair.
Hell of a long time to go insane.
You
want
to show how with me this again? The Pelicans?
Yeah. I give you 6 bottles of wine.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Hang on, what do they have to do, though?
I'll buy a case if they make it. If they.
Top six. Top
done.
Six.
Done. So done.
Done. Top six.
Top six. He is betting on a lot of injuries, which they have had a lot of times. But I also feel like.
Oh, I'm adding it to the notes.
Those young boys.
Fuck your notes. You don't take notes. Having said that, the New Orleans Pelicans were the number one team in the West in January. Richard, top six? You're saying top six?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
You need to make it a little tougher than that, my friend.
No.
I'm going to send you our most expensive Cabernet.
No. Top six? No. Look, if they make it to the top six, that's great. If they make it to the top six, that means that they were primarily healthy. The West is fucking loaded. It's wide open. It's going to be very competitive. I think some of the teams that had some weird situations, like early in the year, like the Lakers, they're not going to be there. They're going to be in the thick of it. You have like Golden State, who had a real big struggle throughout on the road. They're going to be in it. So now all of a sudden you have some teams that should have been in that mix.
Name me 5 teams that are better.
Then the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Houston.
Denver, obviously.
Houston.
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay. The teams that are better than Pelicans. I'm going to say Minnesota. I'm going to say Golden State. I'm going to say Golden State. I'm going to say Phoenix Suns. I'm going to say Phoenix Suns. I'm going to say the Denver Nuggets. I'm going to say Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to say the Los Angeles Clippers.
No.
You asked me my list.
Richard, that's an injury-prone team too. So
yeah,
you're
but
just
they've been injury-prone and made the playoffs. They're injury-prone and don't make the postseason. So again, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what teams, if everyone's healthy, right? There's multiple teams that I'm picking over them. We haven't even gotten to the Texas teams yet. We haven't even gotten to Dallas. We haven't even gotten to what San Antonio could potentially
be. I think Dallas going to be boo-boo
this year. Play-in team. Houston is a play-in team. They will be in the play-in. You're saying that they're going to be a top six.
Let me get a sip. No. And I also think Dallas is not going to be good this year. They have Luka and Kyrie, but did you see the rest of their team? They're all young rookies. Like, you can't win like that anymore. Mm-hmm. They're gonna need some trade. They're gonna need some veterans.
Saying is that their Pelicans have not shown me anything in the last decade that would imply that they are capable of making a sustainable run. This is pre-Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis went to the second round one time and then had a bunch of first round losses after that and some injuries. Then they get Zion Williamson in. We've seen what that train wreck has been. Again, I wish nothing but positive things for Zion, but the reality is. So you look at that and show me at any point in time over the last decade where it looks like they can either get the right amount of pieces there, which they struggle to do with Anthony Davis, even though, you know, they got Boogie Cousins and he tore his ACL, so they've had some bad luck. But when you break down the amount of talent that they have and then getting it healthy on the court, that has been a consistent struggle. And at some point in time, Griff is our guy, but you have to look at how are we managing this, right? You got to look at that. And we know that Griff is one of the best in the business to do it. But at some point in time, you saw he looked, he sounded like he had less patience in Zion, you know, this year, of like, this is the first year he took it really seriously and focusing on all of it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all of that was basically saying that, okay, this is the year. There's other places that might have cracked that whip a lot sooner. San Antonio, Miami. Like, there's other places that we know about organizationally that might have cracked that whip sooner. And especially because Griff is a championship, like, GM. He's a championship manager. So it's like, for this whip to have taken a little bit long to be like, listen, dude, we got to get this going. You know? Like, that's the type of stuff of making sure that everyone in your organization is running at the championship level. And to say that this is what year four for Zion and this is the first year that he's really taken it seriously. Well, what the fuck's been going on? So we've been too nice to Zion over the past 4 years is what you're saying. That's what I heard.
Channing's still buying them.
What?
Despite no. Channing's still
buy
buying
that,
them.
Buy that. Heck no. Now, if they make it, I'm not surprised they got the talent, but you got to prove it. I'm not putting a $100 bet on them. Hell no.
You just did.
I'm not going on. I'm not buying hopes and dreams of the Pelicans.
I will. Give me two and put it in a to-go bag.
Totally. I agree with the both of you. Good stuff there on the Pelicans. We'll certainly be watching that as the regular season tips off here very soon. We're going to take a moment now to take a break. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. I really want to dive into what, Channing, you mentioned at the top of the episode when it comes to the health or lack thereof currently with Chris Middleton. That'll do it for this edition of Road Trippin'.